Good morning. So this, so Baruch Hashem, we have this Haftara. We are now continuing in the Shev Benachamta, the seven comforting, uplifting, more uplifting Haftaros. It's important also, I know, because for some of you, this is the last time you're going to be in the Shir in person, right? No, nobody. Everyone's in there. Oh, Baruch Hashem. Good. I was going to say that it just is really important because people probably are going to walk out. If this past Friday was like the last one, everyone would walk out with thinking like, "Wow, Rabbi Eisenberg's the most miserable person," because every day, just delving into the intense words of Yirmiyahu and the rebuke of Yeshayahu and then Eicha. So just to see a little bit of positivity, and what we spoke about last week, the Nachmu isn't over, right? It starts Nachmu Nachmami, but it's the Shev Nechamta. We have 7 weeks of Nechama, right? There's 10 weeks in this process, the three of Pranayos and the seven of Nechama. In general, that's a concept that's discussed, like the number 10 and then the 7-3 split. Right? Anybody who's slightly more Kabbalistically inclined knows about that in terms of the spheros. Right? There's like a 7-3 split. Familiar? Okay. And you see this manifestation in other ways as well. Also, what else do we have? Nechama. And the number 7.
Shavuos. Yes, with us.
The 7th day is the Nechama of sorts. Okay. Yeah. Where else? Life cycle events. Right. And Shiva. Right. So we are. In a sense, in the period of Shiva, of Klal Yisrael, of a national Shiva, it's Nechama is not Simcha, it's not this big celebration, but it kind of feels like it, right? Especially last night, that's beautiful Shabbos together. Beautiful experience of Nechama, because it's so much less intense than the pain of the aninus of Tisha B'Av and the heartbreak, and then it's more comforting, but it shouldn't be mistaken for great simcha and celebration and Beis Hamikdash. The way I understood and have explained it is that, you know, what we wanted was on Tisha B'Av was menucha. That's what we wanted, menucha, that achieving a state of menucha, right? Yom Shekula Shabbos and menucha. Baruch Hashem Asher Nasan Menucha Le'Amo Yisrael, which is settling in Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael, having the Beis Hamikdash. That's called menucha. Shabbos is called menucha. We want a state of menucha, and when we don't get what we want, so we get nechama. It's like somewhat of an anagram. Nechama is a consolation prize. It's comforting, but it is positive. It is uplifting because it gives us the opportunity to not just wallow in our sorrow, but to move forward. And I think what we're going to try to do throughout these next few weeks that we have is we're going to try to see this not just in the Haftaros, we'll see in the Parsha. We'll see if there's some sort of progression in the Haftaros. There are going to be 6 more. It makes sense that we're going to start the Shev Nechamta with Nachamu Nachamu Ami, right? That makes a lot of sense. And we're going to see what's the progression. The rest of the Haftaros are from Yeshayahu. Some of them are back-to-back Nevuos, right? Eikav is Yeshayahu Memtes. And then we're going to have in Parsha Shoftim is Nun Aleph, which is basically more or less where we leave off, or almost exactly. And it's all hovering in the same area of Yeshayahu, not necessarily in order. So we're going to try to see what's the progression that Chazal designed for us in choosing these Haftaros. We'll see, does it line up with the Parshios? Maybe we'll also just speak about that for a moment. A theory that I haven't fully thought out yet, but it's something I'm working on, is to see this flow of these feelings and these emotions of the Parshios with the time, in particular in Sefer Devarim. I mean, Devarim for a lot of people is just like a big like mess and you know, Mishka Babel of different ideas. And you know, every week, what's this week's Parsha about? Moshe's talking to the Jewish people, right? And that's like a very like fuzzy, blurry feeling of what Sefer Devarim is. But if you learn more carefully and you try to look big picture while also focusing on the details, you'll see that there is a flow, there is a progression, there is, you know, a rhyme and reason to everything the way it's written and the way Moshe spoke it. But we'll see how does it flow into what we're talking about. What happens in Veschanan? Let's take a step back. What's Veschanan? What's it about? What does it feature? Okay, Moshe wanting to enter Israel, getting a no, right? Moshe Rabbeinu desperately wants to go into Eretz Yisrael. Vaschanan, he pleads to Hashem, and is he allowed in? He is not. He got a no. And what does he do?
Says,
okay, so I got a no. She doesn't want me to go in. Well, what's part of why he wants to go in? Why does he want to go in with the nation?
Mitzvah
to his hearts for sure. Right? Chazal speak about that a lot. But also, he wants to be able to lead the nation and be able to help guide them because they need him. And he says over here, right? He says, Hashem didn't let me in. So let me do the best I can without going in. Right? Your parents want to go with you everywhere when you're younger, and they don't want you to go off to school or your first big trip when you go. You're in camp, and you're 6 years old, 7 years old in camp, and you're going to a big trip. You're going to Great Adventure, and you're what your parents warn you about. My parents, they warn me, don't talk to strangers, this and that. They asked me afterwards, and they asked me, did you talk to strangers? And I said, I didn't see any strangers. That's what I told them. I didn't see any strangers, because I learned from Barney that strangers have big, scary hench coats and a hat. I didn't see anyone like that, so I didn't see any strangers. So, but they warn you everything. You should stay with the group, and don't forget this. Oh, and this, oh, Mom, you know, that whole process of getting you ready. So Moshe Rabbeinu is doing that. He says, okay, you're actually, don't forget Har Sinai. Okay. And say Shema, Yisrael, morning and night, and Krishna Lamita, do all of that. Okay, and don't forget some of these Zechiros. And like he last week's parsha is filled with all these like these pieces of fundamental pillars of Jewish faith. And the next parshios as well is going to be, you know, important things that Klal Yisrael have to know in order to build. So what do we have? And what do we have in Parshas Devarim? What's Parshas Devarim about?
Wanting them about the it was like we going through some of the laws. Sefer Devarim is both preparation,
guidance. All the Sefer Devarim. The first, but Parshas Devarim itself was Musar. It was, you know, there was a big shout out to the Chet HaMeraglim. There was like a negative, heavy feel on Parshas Devarim. And then as we leave Devarim, so there's Musar throughout the Sefer, but more of these next seven Parshios or so. There's going to be Tokachot, but these net, right? Akev, Re'eh, Shoftim, Kisetze, Kisava, right? A lot of it is just like guiding Klal Yisrael. So Parshas Devarim is this like more negative parsha in a sense. That there's Musar, there's, you know, what you did wrong, there's the Chetim Araglim, which aligns perfectly with Tisha B'Av. And Va'aschanan begins with a rejection. Moshe is rejected, his big tefillah, which is essentially our tefillah. Isn't our tefillah that we should all be back in Eretz Yisrael and settle in the land? Isn't that our tefillah? And Moshe wants that. And we were rejected. Moshe was rejected. And he says, okay, I'm rejected. Let's do the best we can. Let's see what we can accomplish. Let's see what we can do. Let's change our perspective. Let's have a nechama. Let's start from the basics. Let's be a reborn nation. And he reminds us of our beginning. He reminds us of Aseret Dibros. He reminds us of the fundamentals of faith, of Kriya Shema. He reminds us what it means to be a Jew, what it means to have Ahavas Hashem, what it means to have Yiras Hashem. Parshas Eked, what does it mean, Schar Va'onesh? What does it mean that there are consequences for our actions? When Moshe Rabbeinu is not with you anymore, so Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to be able to yell at you anymore. He's not going to be able to intercede. Yeshua is going to be great, but he's not going to be Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the moon. He reflects the light of the sun. But he's not going to be Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe has to repair them to the best of his ability. And these next weeks, there are some, but mostly it's just starting again. It's a fresh start. We have never had more time to change next Tisha B'Av, right? We have almost an entire year to make sure that next Tisha B'Av is not a day of mourning. That's a great opportunity. Don't look at it as if we're rejected. We have an opportunity to change Tisha B'Av for the coming year. And the way we do that is by reading the words of Yeshayahu, reading the words of Moshe Rabbeinu, and reading the words of Yeshayahu. There are some nice, interesting parallels between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshayahu. We learned in Chazon Yeshayahu, the way it starts, that is very similar to the Hazinu, right? The Hazini Shemayim. So the Yeshayahu's opening words are similar to Moshe Rabbeinu's basically closing words in Parshas Hazinu. There's a discussion there, not for now. Maybe if we have time later in the week, we'll get to that. But let's begin Parshas Akev with all the time that we have left. Okay, we'll begin Parshas Akev, and again we're going to start off reading the text of Yeshayahu. A lot of them are not. A lot of these haftaras are not so long. This one is a longer one though. So we'll learn the words together. Try to understand it in a more simple pshat at first. We'll become familiar with the text. Remember, by this point, we're hopefully not so intimidated by Nevi'im Acharonim anymore, right? It's not so scary. Just the texts that are just full prophecies, and it's not storyline. We're not so scared anymore, right? Maybe we weren't scared in the first place. Great, I was scared, but I mean not this year, but I used to be scared. But I'm happy that you guys weren't. Okay, so let's start. Just so we can see we started. Vatomer Tzion Azaveni Hashem. Vadonai Shechechani. So Tzion said, Tzion is the Yerushalayim, it's the focus, the base of Ikdash. Azaveni Hashem, that Hashem has forsaken me, and Hashem has forgotten me. Hatishkach Isha Ula Merachim Ben Bitna. Can a woman forget the thing that she nursed? Can Merachim ben Minna gam ela tishkachna vanochi lo ashkachech? Can she, like Merachim ben Minna, like holding back the rachim from the thing that was in her stomach? This is beautiful, right? Yeshayahu asks, quoting Hashem. Is it possible? Right? You, Klal Yisrael, said Hashem has forsaken me. Can a woman forsake her child, the one that she nursed? Can she can she hold back her rachamim from the ben bina, the thing, the child that was born and grew in her stomach for 9 months? Gam el tishkachna v'anochi lashkachech. And even if it's possible, Gamila, even if these types of situations, if a mother could forget about her child, even so, I cannot. He says, I'll give you a mashal that isn't even complete. But the mashal is that just like a mother can't forget her child, I certainly can't forget Klal Yisrael. And even if you show me mother that can, I'll say, okay, you're right. It's not a good mashal, because I could never forget Klal Yisrael. I have a deeper connection to Klal Yisrael than a mother has to her baby. I hope everyone's been zocha to see a loving mother caring for her infant. It's a shame someday some of you will be them, and some of you will be married to them. That love, that bond that a mother has after the great effort of carrying a child for 9 months, the part of this what we're trying to learn and nurture in Camp Hask is this chesed, this giving. That's why when a child is born, typically the mother loves the child way more than the father does. Like, isn't it beautiful? I'm like, yeah, it's cute. It's a little dirty, you know, but yeah, it's very very cute. And then, but like, no, it's perfect, it's beautiful, it's amazing, this and that. Okay, it could be I'm just also less mushy person. Not just speaking for myself, but now are you listening? Okay. So usually there's that deeper connection that the mother has, and I think a big part of it is that it's just that she was giving more. And we know in Camp Hask what that is. The campers that you give more to end up becoming the your we don't pick favorites here for our children. You know how it is. And that's what a mother feels for her child. And you can't forget about your child. You can't forsake your child. Any healthy minded human being would never forsake their children. Hashem says, I have invested a lot in Klal Yisrael. I have given tons of chesed, and the only times I don't give chesed are the times that I hold back my chesed are only because I really want to give them chesed, but I can't because it's not healthy for them, and it hurts me not to give them chesed. That's Hashem. That's Hashem. Hashem always wants to give us chesed. Always, always, always. Hashem in His essence is Yudkei Vavkei, Hashem of Rachamim, and He creates this facade of Elokeinu, of din, of judgment, of harsher times, because it's not healthy. You'll spoil the child. If you just want to give chesed, 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 you just give tons of candy and only do things that make your child happy, your child is a spoiled brat. You need to be able to temper the chesed and give an appropriate dosage of chesed, and that's the only reason Hashem isn't just, you know, everything in our lives isn't just amazing all the time. It's because we're not deserving of it, and we become spoiled if we don't get punished for rebelling. So Hashem says, I love you, Klal Yisrael. You think I forsook you. I didn't forsake you. I didn't forsake you. Of course not. I can't forget you. You're my child. I was pregnant with you for 9 months. There is, by the way, there's a tikkufa in our lives that we kind of see it looks like a pregnancy that applies. So not for now, but that's how we start. We start that a rejection of the notion that, you know, we're sitting on the floor in Tisha B'Av and we're miserable and Hashem hates us. But right away, no, that's not what happened. You misunderstood Tisha B'Av. You misunderstood. I didn't forget you. I didn't forsake you. I love you very, very much. We just have to try to figure out how to move forward. But don't mistake the situation. Have a great day.